Many of you know already, foundations of the Methodist movement, where the United Methodist Church, come from a guy named John Wesley. And you can go back more than 200 years and trace his religious development and what he did. That now I can't remember. There's been little branches that have broken off from time to time and have formed new church groups. I think there's something on the order of 15 different denominational groups that trace their heritage back to the beliefs and the teachings of John Wesley back in the mid-18th century, back in the 1750s, 1760s, and so on. One of the things that I think is coolest about being of the Wesleyan way of thinking is Wesley's understanding of sort of the image of God that is within us. The Bible says that, you know, Genesis says they were created in God's image, male and female. God created them. And so somehow, in some way, we share some portion of God's image. It's not a physical thing. I think it's more like characteristics and attitudes, perhaps, or emphasis, the way what we emphasize, what feeds us. But one of the things he says is that this sort of what happens to this image of God is that it tends to get coated with sort of the muck of the world, the decisions we make that are rotten decisions, and sometimes the junk stuff that gets dumped on us by other people or by situations and so on. And so that image of God that is within us can become somewhat or maybe almost completely obscured at times by the crud that collects on that image. And one of the things he says that we need to do is we need to be aware of that. But number two, that's one of the things that we can do to try to sort of wash some of that image away is to observe the means of grace, which is communion and baptism. That's one of the reasons we practice communion every week, and we have for more than 8 years, and that's just so we have a chance to wash some of that stuff off each and every day. God creates and God gives. Now, that's part of what I think the image of God that's embedded in each of us contains. God is a creative force, and we are creative creatures. God gives constantly, and we, when we give, we are healthiest because we're living closest to the image of God. Now, as far as the source of muck that tends to cover that stuff up, there's really two predominant things, I think. Two of the competing voices, maybe two of the major voices, and one of them is fear. Fear of the future. We're afraid of what might happen, and so in terms of our living, we tend to be less generous than God would want us to be. We tend to hold things more closely than we might otherwise, to become, in some sense, hoarders. And God doesn't want that at all. God is a generous giver constantly and has created us in that image. But sometimes we're afraid. How much is enough? And we can never know how much is enough, so more's got to be better, right? But oftentimes more's just more. The other thing that competes in, as far as a muck source is the voice of insecurity and the voice of self-worth. Oh, I'm not worth much. Oh, I'm always going to mess up. You know, if it was up to me, this whole thing would be a failure. Or I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not good-looking enough. I'm not athletic. Whatever that shortcoming, when you look in the mirror, if you see shortcoming looking back at you, that is the muck of this self-image insecurity thing, looking back. God has said each and every one of us are divinely created and dearly, dearly loved, just as we are. Not as we would be if we were better looking, not as we would be if we lost a few pounds, but the way we are right now. And so we got to watch out for those muck things that fall on us, those things that make us afraid for the future. Can you say elections? Oh, Lord. And those things like self-image, where we're constantly being told, you're not enough. You're not what you should be. You're not good enough. Watch out for them. Those are serious muck stuff. What we find is when we give ourselves to Christ, when we accept, okay, Lord, you're the one, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to make your teachings and your way of living and your instructions to me the highest of priorities in my life. When we begin to do that, what we find is we begin to change, but it's a very gradual change. It's an inside-out kind of a change. And when we do that also, we'll find that to some extent our fears begin to dissipate and begin to lessen. Because as we learn and as we grow, we discovered that God is the great giver and God is the great provider, and God has always been that. We go back 3,000 years to the time that the Psalms were written. Okay, the book of Psalms, where King David was king around 1000 BC, and he wrote a bunch of those Psalms, so we know a lot of them are 3,000 years old. Here's some of the first lines out of just a couple of those. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. O Lord, I give my life to you, I trust in you, my God. Just those first three lines from three psalms in a row, 23rd Psalm, 24th, and 25th, express for us that understanding that goes back 3,000 years of God the creator, God the giver, God the sustainer, the God the one that provides for our needs and always has, always will. The other thing that happens once we begin to live with that new kind of a priority, that new ordering of priorities, is that internal sense of ourselves begins to change. And maybe it's like an internal Teflon or something. I know that shows my age. There's got to be better non-stick surfaces than Teflon. But when the muck starts to collect, maybe it doesn't stick quite as well. And that image of who we are in the image of God is more easily coming through than it has been before. So as Christ begins to change us from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see ourselves differently, more positively. We find, actually, and the third thing that happens there is we find that there's joy in doing things for others. I know that the ministries, the outreach ministries that the church has undertaken over the last few years, and one of them is an outreach ministry to the homeless. And this year we're doing a couple of things. We're allowing them to, our building to be used on certain days of the week. But the other thing we're doing is we're making sandwiches. Now I know everybody can't help with all of that stuff, but today's the day to make a tiny little bit of difference and do something for somebody else. After the service, go on in. And if you only make one peanut butter sandwich, know that as you make that, somebody's not going to be hungry tonight or tomorrow or whenever that sandwich is needed. And through your efforts, you have fed somebody who might otherwise be digging in a dumpster for something to eat. Joy in doing for others. That one verse from Acts that you heard Kathy read, I want to reemphasize it for you, where Paul said, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are Jesus' words, according to Paul, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can give to somebody by making a sandwich. How simple is that? There's a variety of ways that we're able to give. And when we get right down to it, that's the meaning of life, is to give and to love on behalf of Christ and to create in some way, shape, or form a community that is better, that is stronger, that is more positive, that is more resistant to the fear, that is more resistant to the self-image muck that comes at us. That community can be a family. It can be a church. It can be a town or a city or a county or a world. But every one of those starts with one of us making that commitment and beginning to allow that image of God to come out more and more and more strongly. Now, this is, we have been talking for the last several weeks about stewardship. This is the time of year when the leadership of the church is looking at 2017 and saying, what are we going to be able to do? What are we going to be able to afford to do for that time period? Geez, 8.5 years ago, when Carol and I, we've been spiritual leaders here now for one or the other of us for 8.5 years, what we said that first week is that we're not going to talk about money every week. But when we do, we're going to talk about it honestly, we're going to talk about it openly, and then we're going to move on to something else. And that's what we've tried to do for the last 3 or 4 weeks, is simply talk about it honestly, talk about it openly. Next week will be the end of that finance campaign. We invite you all to be here. It should be a very special worship experience. Let me tell you something, final thing about generosity. Generosity, you saw the first graphic up, there's lots of definitions of generosity in the background, and they're all kind of neat. But the other thing about generosity is generosity from one person creates generosity in others. It creates an atmosphere in which generosity grows, in which generosity is passed from person to person, and certainly from generation to generation. This is a story, and it's an absolutely true story. You can look it up in Wikipedia, probably, if you want to. It's about a Polish virtuoso pianist, Ignacy Paderewski. Now, in the 1880s, mid-1880s to late 1880s, he had come up with some really fabulous music and was being hailed across the world, literally, as perhaps the preeminent musician of his time. And he was making a tour of the United States. In fact, he would later move to the United States. But he was touring through the United States, and he was contacted by two students at Stanford University. These were two students who were, quite honestly, having trouble paying for their tuition. So they came up with this idea. They were going to be concert promoters. They were going to promote a concert with Paderewski as the performer. And they would sell lots of tickets, they would pay Paderewski, and the rest of the money would go to help them pay for their tuition. One of these was a young man who happened to be an orphan and was really finding it hard to work his way through. So they contacted him. He said, "My terms are $2,000. Imagine that in 1891. $2,000 for a concert. And they agreed to it. There was a problem, though. When the time of the concert came, they'd only sold about $1,600 worth of tickets. And so they were $400 short. And so they went to Paderewski and they said, "We're really sorry. Here's everything that we've sold. We'll give you this and we'll sign personal notes that guarantee that we will pay you the rest back." And he asked him, he said, "Well, why did you book the concert if you couldn't pay me?" And so they explained the situation that they were in. And he said, "All I want from you is whatever my costs were in coming here. The rest of it, you keep for yourself. Get yourself through your school." Absolutely true story. Now, where the story gets even cooler is we have to dial forward about another 10, 15, even 20 years, and we go through a time when World War I was happening. Started in 1914, ended in 1917, early 1918, okay? World War I, Poland was part of that. Paderewski actually was living in the United States at the time, but at the time that the war finally ended, there was such devastation throughout Europe that they were going to be literally, in fact, in the winter, I believe, of 1918, there were millions of people who starved to death. There were more people who died from starvation and disease after the war was over than were actually killed in the war. And in Poland, it was really terrible. But what happened was, just right after the war, Poland was now a democracy. It had been ruled by a royal families and aristocrats and so on, but now it was a democracy. And the folks asked Paderewski if he would be the first prime minister the first president of Poland. So he moved back to Poland and inherited all these huge problems. Well, Americans, being the generous people that we are, had set up a relief organization who was called the United States Relief Administration. And its sole job was to furnish food and other things like coats and shoes and things that were going to be absolutely desperately needed for the summer, or for the winter, rather. And they sent over to Paris the guy that was in charge of that. Now, that happened to be Herbert Hoover, who would later be president, but he wasn't president yet. Herbert Hoover, who was in charge of distributing all that. Paderewski wanted help for Poland. And as they were not necessarily included in that at the beginning, because they were on the other side during the war, he went to France and he went to Paris and he asked to meet with Herbert Hoover. And he laid the situation out and he said, "People in my country are starving. We need your help." And Hoover said, "You'll have it." He said, "In thanks to you." And Paderewski went, "What?" And Hoover said, "I was a student at Stanford in 1891. Generosity creates generosity. Love and giving creates love and giving. And that's what God calls us to do, and that's the opportunity that we have. This is the time of year when we're asked to just sort of look at ourselves, look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves some questions. Do we have enough? What are we afraid of? What do we see when we look there? Do we see that image of God looking back or not? What are the priorities that we all have in our life? And ask ourselves, how much of that apple will we give back to God next year? How much will our ministries, our caring and our loving and our generosity be able to do? We all have our own answers, and together our answer goes to God. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you take what we give and you multiply it, that you use it combined with love and generosity and caring and the hands and the feet of those who are willing to work for a better world, and you do so many special things with it. We ask today that you help us. Help us to look honestly and openly at who we are and what we have and what we hope the world will become. We give you thanks in the name of Christ, who teaches us, who leads us. Amen.